إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Indeed, the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our second session since the beginning of the month of Ramadan. And tonight, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we want to continue a little bit of the topic that we started last week, which was remembering Allah, being thankful to Him and worshipping Him in the best manner. And this topic from last week, and it's based upon the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ وَاشْكُرُونِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ. يعني, remember me and I will remember you, and be thankful to me and do not be ungrateful. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said in a hadith as sahih, he told Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu that indeed, by Allah, indeed I love you. And he said, do not leave off saying after the completion of every prayer. يعني اللهم أعني على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. يعني, oh Allah, help me, assist me, aid me in remembering you and being thankful to you and worshipping you in the best manner. So from our discussion last week, I want to focus a little bit on the first part of our topic, that is the remembrance of Allah. And tonight, after last week, and discussing in some detail the importance of remembrance of Allah, the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the believers to remember Him. And in this way, yani ذكر being رأس الشكر, yani the beginning and the height and the peak of gratitude, then yani gratitude cannot occur unless the person first remembers Allah, remembers the favors of Allah, the blessings of Allah and His bounties, His greatness and His glory. How can a person yani be grateful, be thankful to Allah if they didn't first remember Him? So, and we want to focus a little bit more. But before that, let me just, does anybody remember last week we said that yani from the arkan of shukr, yani the elements, the essential elements of being grateful, we said are three. Anybody remember what they are? Three elements that are from the pillars, the essential pillars of gratitude. Yani, naam, Shu'ayb.
One is remembering Allah through your heart.
Remembering Allah by the heart. Remembering Allah in the heart, naam. On the tongue, yani. Praising and glorifying Allah on the tongue. And
manifestation of it through your action.
And manifestation of it through the limbs of the body, yani. By acting in compliance with the commands of Allah and avoiding His prohibitions. And last week we also said that the person who fulfills the obligation of being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His favors, then there are two benefits from them, from this. The first of them is that is related to the blessings that they have received, that they will maintain it, that it will remain with them. And the second of them, naam.
Allah will increase
them, yani, beyond what they already have. Allah will give them, yani, extra blessings. And this is understood, yani, from the ayah, naam. وَلَئِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. Yani that if you are thankful, I will increase you. I don't know, there were a few other points that I wanted to focus on, yani just as a reminder to us when we covered last week. But in any case, for the sake of time, let's proceed to the topic for tonight, which is remembering Allah, remembrance of Allah, in the day and in the night. Specifically in Ramadan, because we're in the month of Ramadan now, but more generally, even after Ramadan, the remembrance of Allah, remembering Allah in the day and the night. There's a chapter After the last hadith in Jami' al-Ulum wal-Hikm by al-Imam Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali rahimahullah. This book is a very important book that contains so many fawaid, benefits that are beyond our imagination. The book Jami' al-Ulum al-Hikm is originally based upon the book of Imam Nawawi, that is, which book of Imam Nawawi? 40 Hadith. Famous book of Imam Nawawi, 40 Hadith. So Ibn Rajab, rahimahullah, went to explaining the 40 Hadith of Imam Nawawi, and he added to it some further Hadith, making it 50 Hadith. And in that book of 50 Hadith, based upon the 40 Hadith of Imam Nawawi, Ibn Rajab explains those Hadith that Imam Nawawi collected, as well as a few extra Hadith, making a total of 50. And he brought so many benefits, ayat, ahadith, athar from the Sahaba and Tabi'een that are of tremendous, tremendous, tremendous benefit. The last hadith that he brought, and he followed it with this chapter that we want to read tonight, or at least as much of it as is possible, where he summarized the nizam, the system that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated in order for a Muslim to be constantly engaged in remembrance of Allah. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated for us in the Quran and in the Sunnah a way, a manner, a tariqah in which a Muslim can be constantly engaged in the remembrance of Allah. And this chapter comes after, as I said, the last hadith in Jami' Ulum al-Hikm, hadith number 50, the hadith of Abdullah ibn Bushr radiallahu anhu. He said that a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, inna shira'i, إِنَّ الشَّرَاعِ الْإِسْلَامِ قَدْ كَثُرَتْ عَلَيَّا. Yani the things that Allah has legislated in Islam, and it became plenty, so many that they overwhelmed me. Yani it was too much for me. So give me something comprehensive that I can hold on to. Yani if I can't do all of those things, give me something that I can hold fast to, that I can stick to, that I can work at and strive towards implementing, that will be sufficient for me. And the Prophet ﷺ said, لَا يَزَالُ لِسَانُكَ رَطْبًا مِنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Yani make it so that your tongue is constantly, always, continuously engaged in remembrance of Allah. Moist with the remembrance of Allah. Your tongue should be constantly moist with the remembrance of Allah. Meaning that a person is constantly engaged in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn Rajab mentions this hadith. He says it's reported by Imam Ahmed with this wording that we mentioned here, and that it's also reported from At-Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, Ibn Hibban, and his Sahih, and others. And then he mentions some of the other narrations that are similar to that. And from amongst those narrations is that which is collected by Ibn Hibban in his Sahih from Mu'adh ibn Jabal. He said, the last thing that I heard from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when we separated, yani at the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, I said to him, which deed, ayya a'mal, khayrun wa aqrab ila Allah, which deed will be best and near and the nearest to bring me nearest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He said, antamuta wa lisanuka ratban min dhikrillah. That is, that you die while your tongue is moist with the remembrance of Allah. Yani constantly engage in the remembrance of Allah. And then Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali rahimahullah, he discussed this hadith in pages in quite lengthy detail. But for tonight, we want to look at the chapter that he followed that hadith with. He called it Faslun fi wadha'if al-dhikra al-muwadhafa fil yawmi wal-laylati. Fasl, a chapter concerning the wadha'if. Wadha'if al-dhikra al-muwadhafa. Those duties that Allah has assigned to us concerning the remembrance of Allah in the day and in the night. Let me watch this clock here. I hear the adhan coming from somewhere. I don't know where. A little bit scary just now.
We have 15 minutes. 15 minutes.
No, for you. I have 49. Good. Either way, it's good. So he entitled this chapter Fasl, a chapter concerning the duties that Allah has assigned to us concerning the remembrance of Allah in the day and in the night. What is it that Allah has assigned to us in terms of the dhikr, the remembrance of Allah in the day and the night? For example, what? SubhanAllah, this is going to be difficult for me. For example, the salat. Naam, the salat. Which salat? All five of them. Yani the five obligatory prayers. What else has Allah assigned to us? Yani in terms of what He has legislated, in order for us to be constantly engaged in remembrance of Him. He has also legislated for us what? Huh? Supererogatory prayers in addition to the five obligatory prayers. Naam. I mean, from the most important of things are the prayers, the obligatory prayers and supererogatory prayers. What else has Allah legislated? What else came in the yani Quran and in the Sunnah, legislated in Islam, so that a believer can be constantly engaged in remembrance of Allah? What else did He assign us? Huh? Okay, fasting can be a means of remembrance of Allah, naam. But we're talking about dhikr. We're talking about dhikr specifically, although yes, any every worship, every act of obedience is engaged in the remembrance of Allah, naam. Okay, seeking knowledge also from comes under the general title of remembrance of Allah. Naam, what else?
Manners.
Huh?
Having good manners.
Having good manners. Tayyib, all of these things have come under the general title of remembrance of Allah, but more specifically, like salat is specifically dhikrullah. Yani obligatory prayers and voluntary prayers. Is there any other remembrance of Allah besides salat?
Besides sign up Allah greater.
Yani saying Allahu Akbar? Yani acknowledging the greatness of Allah? Okay, saying Allahu Akbar. Yani saying Allahu Akbar. Now that's dhikr, right? Allahu Akbar. Now what else?
Reading Quran.
Huh? Reading Quran, of course. Reading Quran. Yani perhaps some scholars may say that the reading of Quran is the greatest dhikr. Remembrance of Allah. Reading Quran is dhikr Allah, for sure. No doubt about it. What else?
They can do it.
Huh?
They can do it.
Dua. Okay. Now. Okay, so in any case, look, perhaps some of the things that the Al-Imam Al-Hafiz Ibn Rajab rahimahullah mentions here in this chapter, some of them are probably so well known that they're not coming to our mind because it's like, you know, something that's already, and it doesn't require mention, right? But there's no doubt that the first thing that he starts with is the salat, the obligatory prayer. No, there's no doubt about it. But there's also different types of adhkar that have been legislated in the sunnah for the remembrance of Allah, right? On different times and different occasions and different situations that he has legislated. So what we're going to look at today is, what has Allah legislated? And what is the most important of them? And what follows them in importance or in virtue or in excellence? And we want to look at how this system that Allah has legislated for us, how it encompasses the whole of the life of a Muslim. From morning till night. Yani the whole of our lives should be engaged in the remembrance of Allah. And this is what is understood from that hadith, where the Prophet ﷺ said, yani let your tongue be constantly engaged, continuously engaged in the remembrance of Allah. How do we do it? This is what Ibn Rajab rahimahullah outlines in this chapter. He outlines how to actually do that. Perhaps some of us have thought about this before, and maybe we didn't know exactly how can a person be constantly engaged in remembrance of Allah. Maybe we didn't know. Maybe we didn't even think about it before. Maybe we just we make our salat, and we perhaps do dhikr after salat or something like this, and we might be engaged in some forms of dhikr, but we didn't really think about the amount of time we spend in the course of a day or in a night in which we are not engaged in the remembrance of Allah. Perhaps we didn't think about it. But were we to think about it, we would realize that we have fallen short by far. In that, we have spent hours and hours and hours, which add up to days and weeks and months and maybe years of our life, but we are not engaged in the remembrance of Allah. So what, yani, we're going to present tonight, at least the outline of the affair, and perhaps on another occasion, some of the details of what Al-Imam Ibn Rajab Al-Hanbali rahimahullah alludes to in this chapter. So I'm going to read from the chapter, and some places that require explanation because of the time that we have, perhaps we'll just skip over them as he did, and if we have a chance, yani, to go back to them at another time. What I want myself and each of us to focus upon is where we have fallen short. In what affair that Allah has legislated, we failed to engage in that matter, and therefore we failed to be constantly engaged in the remembrance of Allah due to that. What are the areas that we have fallen short in? What are the areas that we forgot about, that we knew but we forgot about them? What are the areas that we didn't know, we never heard before, we didn't know that this was yani something that Allah has legislated or that Allah has given prominence to as a means of engaging constantly in the remembrance of Allah? He begins the chapter by saying, مَعَلُومٌ أَنَّ اللَّهَ فَرَضَ عَلَى الْمُسْلِمِينَ أَنْ يَذْكُرُوهُ كُلَّ يَوْمٍ وَلَيْلَةٍ خمس مرات بإقامة الصلوات الخمس في مواقيتها المؤقتة. This is opening statement. معلوم. It is well known to everyone that Allah has made obligatory upon the Muslims, فرض على المسلمين, made obligatory upon the Muslims to remember Him every day and every night, five times in a day and a night. How? بإقامة الصلوات الخمس في مواقيتها المؤقتة. How has Allah made it obligatory upon us to remember Him? Yani five times a day in the day and night, it is by the establishment of the five obligatory prayers in their appointed times. And there are a number of notes that we can make here, but again, as I said, because of the sake of time, we're going to have to skip some of it. But I'll just make one, yani allude to one point here. He said, the establishment of the five prayers in their specified fixed times. And Allah made this obligatory upon us to remember Him. How? Five times in the day and the night, by establishing the five obligatory prayers in their specified times. Not when we get ready to, when we feel like, when I have some extra time, when I have a moment, but in their specified times. Establishment of the salat. And Allah told us in the Quran, وَأَقِمِ السَّلَاتِ بِذِكْرِي. Yani establish the prayers for the remembrance of me. This is the main purpose of the salat. It is to be engaged in the remembrance of Allah, and Allah has made this obligatory upon us. After this, he says, وَشَرَعَ لَهُمْ مَا هَذِي الْفَرَائِدَ الْخَمْسِ أَنْ يَذْكُرُوهُ ذِكْرًا يَكُونُ لَهُمْ نَافِلَةً. وَالنَّافِلَةَ الزِّيَادَةَ فَيَكُونُ ذَلِكَ زِيَادَةَ عَلَى الصَّلَوَاتِ الْخَمْسِ وَهِيَ نَوْعَانِ. He said, in addition to the obligatory prayers that Allah has yani compelled us with in order to yani be engaged in remembrance of Him, He has also legislated for the Muslims, along with these five obligatory prayers, that they also remember Him with a dhikra that will be nafila. That will be what? Nafila. Meaning? Nafila. What is the meaning of nafila? Huh? Voluntary, supererogatory. Yani, Ibn Rajab explains what he means by nafila. He says, وَالنَّافِلَةُ الزِّيَادَةُ. And nafila is ziyada, it's extra, above and beyond. It's not obligatory. It's something voluntary, supererogatory, extra, above and beyond that which is obligatory. The five prayers of the day, in their times, He has made obligatory upon us, so that we be engaged in His remembrance. In addition to that, He has given us something extra, which He has also legislated, and that is another form of remembrance, which He says here, it is a form of remembrance which is nafila, yani something extra in addition, above and beyond the five obligatory prayers, wahiya nawan. And this extra remembrance of Allah is of two types, yani two categories. So there's the obligatory dhikr of Allah, the five prayers in their time. And then there's something extra above and beyond that, and it's of two types. It is of two types. What is this extra, yani voluntary dhikr of Allah, that is of two types? Well, one of them is something like the obligatory one, like the prayers, a form of prayer. And the other one is other than that, not prayers. Two types. He says the first of them, أَحَدُهُمَا مَا هُوَ مِنْ جِنْسَ الصَّلَاةِ. Yani it's of the same category or class as salat, but it's not obligatory salat. It's not obligatory salat. The first type of the extra remembrance of Allah, yani the first of those two types, is from the same category or class as what we already mentioned, that is salat, but it's not obligatory. So He has legislated for them, فَشَرَعَ لَهُمْ أَنْ يُصَلُّوا مَا صَلَوَاتِ الْخَمْسَ قَبْلَهَا أَوْ بَعْدَهَا أَوْ قَبْلَهَا وَبَعْدَهَا سُنَنًا. So He's also legislated what? From the dhikr that is not obligatory, the nafila dhikr, the first type is the salat, that is the sunan prayers. The sunan prayers. And He said that they are divided into three categories. The first of them are those which are performed before the five obligatory prayers. And the second of them are those that are performed after the five obligatory prayers. And the third one is what? What's the third type? Huh? We're talking about, here we're talking about the Sunan al-Ratiba. The Sunan al-Ratiba. They are divided into three types. One is performed before the obligatory prayers. One is performed after. And the third one is, the third category are those that are?
The Sunan, in other words,
they are performed before and after. Look, there are three types of ratibas, Sunan Salat. One is the type that's performed before. Like, for example, the Sunan that's performed before Fajr. It's performed before, not after. And another type is the one that's performed after. Like the Sunan that's performed after Maghrib prayer, Isha prayer. It's not the Sunan for Maghrib and Isha is not performed before, it's performed after. And then there's a third category of Sunan that's connected to the five obligatory prayers, which is performed both before and after, like in the case of Dhuha prayer. Sunan prayers before it, and Sunan prayers after it. This is the second type of dhikrullah that Allah has legislated for the believers to constantly be engaged in His remembrance, which is nafila, it's extra, it's voluntary. But it has been legislated. And if a person engages in it, they will be constantly engaged in the remembrance of Allah. So this is the first type of the nafila dhikrullah. It is the prayers that we performed along with the five daily obligatory prayers, either before them or after them or before and after them. Is it clear? The question now that we must ask ourselves, every one of us, have I engaged in those? Am I actually committed constantly fulfilling this type of dhikr of Allah that's nafila, na'am, but Allah has legislated for us. In order for us to be constantly engaged in remembrance, we have to do these things. And it's obligatory, not obligatory. But if a person wants to be constantly, they want their tongue, la yazalu lisanuka, yani, ratban, bidhikrillah, constantly engaged, moistened by the remembrance of Allah, then a person has to do these things. So these sunan prayers are how many? Huh? There are 12, as mentioned in the hadith of Salama. And in other narrations as well, she said that the Prophet ﷺ, this is how he used to do them. Yani he used to do, yani four rak'ah before dhuhr and two after. And then he used to do, what came after that? What's sunan prayers, sunan ratiba? Huh? Asr was not from sunan ratiba. It's extra. The Maghrib prayer, two after Maghrib. And two after Isha, and two before Fajr. That's 12. Four before Dhuhr and two after Dhuhr. That's 6. Two after Maghrib, 8. Two after Isha, 10. And two before Fajr, 12. She said 12. And whoever prays these, then what will be the reward? Huh? Allah will build for that person a house in Jannah. These prayers are very important. How many of them do we make in a day? Not once in a while, but every single day. The same way we pray five obligatory prayers every day in their time, there are 12 sunan, rak'ah, that are what Allah has legislated so that the believer can constantly be engaged in the remembrance of Allah. I mean, in the end of it all, right, these are sunnah prayers. So a person might say, well, they're not obligatory, so, you know, what's the big deal? Well, whoever says that they are from Ahlul Sunnah, then you must, yani, be engaged in the sunnah. How can you claim to be from Ahlul Sunnah and you don't engage in the sunnah? 12 sunnah rak'ah in the day and the night. I mean, you have to keep your own scorecard, if we can call it that. And you have to keep your own record of how many of them do you miss every day. And how many did days go by when we didn't pray any of them? There was a time, a long time ago, I remember a brother got up after the prayer in one of the masjids and he said, there's sunnah prayers we have to pray. I think it was Dhuha prayer. And most of the people looked at him like, yeah, so there's sunnah, Zach. We don't have to pray them. And that might be the attitude of some people today. But as far as the people of sunnah, we know better than that. That was a man saying that to the people who were not from Ahlul Sunnah. So they didn't care about the sunnah. But what about us then? Are we like them? Even though we say we are Ahlul Sunnah, but we also don't do them. Okay. I'm not going to dwell on this too much. But it is of great importance. So the Shaykh, he said that The nafila dhikr of Allah is of two types. The first of them is from the same as the type of what He made obligatory upon us. That is, it is a type of salah. And that salat are the sunan al-ratiba that are performed before or after, or before and after the five obligatory prayers. This is something extra in addition to the fariḍa. فَإِنْ كَانَ فِي الْفَرِيضَ نَقْصٌ. And if there's any shortcoming, defect in the obligatory prayer, this will make up for it. Yani, it will be made up for, it will be mended, it will be fixed by what? The nawafil. And if not, then the nawafil will be ziyada ala al-fara'id. So here, and there's a hadith. He alludes to the hadith, he doesn't mention it, where the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would say, does my servant, after he called him to account for the obligatory prayers, said, does he have any, yani, voluntary prayers, extra, to make up for the shortcoming in the obligatory prayer? Whoever imagines that their obligatory prayer is performed perfectly, five times a day, every day, then perhaps they might say, I'm not in need of this. I don't need mending. Mine's is good. Then he said, and if there's no need for mending, then this will be extra, ziyada. It will be extra for you. Who is not in need of that? That's if a person imagines that their obligatory prayers are performed perfectly, five times a day, every day. And if a person knows that that's not the case, then we know how much then we are in need of these sunan al-ratiba, before and after the obligatory prayers. Then he says, رَحِمَهَ اللَّهُ وَأَطْوَلُ مَا يَتَخَلَّلُ بَيْنَ مَوَاقِتِ الصَّلَاةِ مِمَّا لَيْسَ فِيهِ صَلَاةٌ مَفْرُوضَةٌ مَا بَيْنَ صَلَاةِ الْعِشَاءِ وَصَلَاةِ الْفَجْرِ وَمَا بَيْنَ صَلَاةِ الْفَجْرِ وَصَلَاةِ الظُّهُرِ. Yani, the longest time that's between the appointed times of prayer, during which there's no obligatory salat. Yani, the longest time between the obligatory prayers, between which there's no obligatory salat, is the time between the... Huh? You know, the noise that's coming in from the door, I can't hear. Fajr and Dhuhr. Okay, and what else? Huh? Isha and Fajr. Yani, these two times. Depending on the time of year. Because in the time of the year, when the days are very short, and the nights are long, then the time between Isha and Fajr is going to be longer. But on the opposite, When the nights are short and the days are long, then the time between Fajr and Dhuhr are going to be longer than the time between Isha and Fajr. These two times, he said, are the longest times during which there's no obligatory prayer. Yani, the times between the appointed five prayers of the day. He said, these are the longest times, that is between the Isha and the Fajr and the Fajr and the Isha, Fajr and Dhuhr. And he said, فَشَرَعَ مَا بَيْنَ كُلِّ وَاحِدَةٍ مِنْ هَاتَيْنِ الصَّلَاتَيْنِ صَلَاةٌ تَكُونُ النَّافِلَ لِأَنْ لَا يَطُولَ وَقْتَ الْغَفْلَ عَنِ الذِّكْرَ. So Allah has legislated between each one of these two prayers, yani between the Fajr and the Dhuhr, and between the Isha and the Fajr, He has legislated a salat that is nafila, that's voluntary, that's extra, ziyada, so that there will not be a long time in which a person will fall into ghafla, being unmindful of the remembrance of Allah. Yani, these long times between the Isha and the Fajr, and between the Fajr and the Dhuhr, is a long time. And Allah has legislated so that that time will not be so long. He has legislated a salat, that's nafila, that's extra, that's ziyada, in order to what? To protect us from falling into al-ghafla. So how many of us have taken advantage of this legislation and performed the prayers that are legislated in these times so that we didn't fall into ghafla? Or if we didn't take advantage of that, then we indeed will fall into ghafla. We will not be engaged in the remembrance of Allah. So he said, for each one of these times, there's a prayer that Allah has legislated to prevent us from falling into unmindfulness. فَشَرَعَ مَا بَيْنَ الصَّلَاةِ الْعِشَاءِ وَصَلَاةُ الْفَجْرِ صَلَاةُ الْوِتْرِ وَقِيَامُ اللَّيْلِ. So he has legislated between the time of the Isha prayer and the Fajr prayer, Salatul Witr and Qiyam al-Layl. Two prayers, the Witr and Qiyam al-Layl. So if a person performs these prayers, then they will have taken advantage of what Allah has legislated from that which is extra, in order to protect them from falling into unmindfulness. وَشَرَعَ بَيْنَ صَلَاةُ الْفَجْرِ وَصَلَاةُ الظُّهْرِ صَلَاةَ الدُّهَا. between Salatul Fajr and Salatul Dhuhr, between the dawn and the noontime prayer, he legislated Salatul Duha. And that prayer may be performed any time after the sun has risen a little bit above the horizon. After sunrise, when it has risen a little above the horizon, after 10 or 15 minutes, it's legislated to perform Salatul Duha, and its time lasts up until just before the sun reaches the zenith. Yani a similar amount of time before the sun reaches its zenith. And there's some discussion about this too, but we're going to leave it for now. If we have a chance, we may come back at another time. This is a prayer also that is of utmost importance. Why? Salatul Duha? Because from the time of Fajr until Dhuha is a long time. If there wasn't any prayer legislated, perhaps we wouldn't pray any prayer. But Allah has legislated a prayer, Salatul Duha, which is of the utmost importance. It should be performed as 2 rak'ah, 4 rak'ah, 6 rak'ah, 8 rak'ah, yani in pairs of 2. Very, very important prayer, and there's some hadith about it that are tremendous. وَبَعْدَ هَذِهِ الصَّلَوَاتِ أَكِدٌ مِّن بَعْدٍ. And some of these prayers are more emphasized than others. Some of which prayers? The nawafil, yani the witr, the qiyam al-layl, salatul du'a. Some of them are more emphasized than others, more important, more incumbent upon us to attend to them and not abandon them. So the most emphasized of them is I heard 3 different answers. Who knows for sure? Or who thinks they know for sure?
What's the question again?
The most of these prayers that Allah has legislated, of extra prayers in those times between Fajr and Dhuhr, and between Isha and Fajr, He has legislated prayers to be performed in those times. He said, some of them are more emphasized than others. The most emphasized of them is the But we're not talking about the rak'atain before Fajr. We're talking about the prayers that Allah legislated in between these times. Witr and tahajjud. Okay. Al-Hafiz Ibn Rajab rahimahullah, he says, وَآكِدُهَا الْوِتْرُ. The most emphasized of them is the witr. وَلِذَلِكَ اِخْتَلَفَ الْعُلَمَاءَ فِي وُجُوبِهِ ثُمَّ قِيَامَ اللَّيْلِ. Yani the most emphasized of them is the witr prayer. And for this reason is so emphasized by the Prophet ﷺ that the scholars differed about it, even if it's obligatory, not voluntary. Some scholars said that it's obligatory. To that extent, that's how important it is. So how often do we abandon the witr prayer? How often do we abandon the witr prayer? This is a question that I have to ask myself. And I have to take account of myself before account will be taken. Am I in need of this or not in need of it? Is it of the utmost importance or it's not important? Allah has legislated for our benefit so that we didn't fall into ghafla, so that we'd be constantly engaged in His remembrance. So we have to ask ourselves, am I in need of this or not? Yani we have to ask ourselves now, at this time, not when the questioning came on Yawm al-Qiyamah, when there won't be anything to speak except our deeds. The most emphasized of them is the witr prayer, to the extent that the scholars differed as to whether or not it's even wajib. ثُمَّ قِيَامُ اللَّيْلِ. And then after that, secondly, most emphasized is قِيَامُ اللَّيْلِ. قِيَامُ اللَّيْلِ. And then he says, وَكَانَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يُدَاوِمُ عَلَيْهِ حَضَرًا وَصَفَرًا ثُمَّ صَلَاةُ الدُّهَى. And here he says that the Prophet ﷺ used to constantly perform this prayer, whether he was traveling or whether he was resident. And here he means the witr prayer, the witr prayer. Not the qiyam al-layl, the witr prayer. And then after that, next most emphasized is salatul duha. وَقَدْ اِخْتَلَفَ النَّاسِ فِيهَا فِي اِسْتِحْبَابِ الْمُدَاوَمَةِ عَلَيْهَا. And the people, yani the scholars differed concerning this prayer, salatul duha, concerning whether or not it is mustahab to constantly perform it. Mudawama alayha. Mudawama alayha. Yani there was difference whether or not is it actually mustahab that a person always perform the Salatul Duha every single day. Is it mustahab or not? There's difference of opinion. We're not going to discuss it here. But the point is, he's saying that some scholars said that it's mustahab to perform Salatul Duha all the time. Yani to constantly perform it every single day. How often do we perform Salatul Duha? Huh? Whether you're in the house or whether you're at home. Yani, the original rule for voluntary prayers is that they be performed in the home, not in the masjid. The original rule is that voluntary prayers should be performed in the home. Now? That's a long discussion. Yani, we'll just say this. If a person performed the Fajr prayer in Jama'ah and they remained in the masjid in the dhikr of Allah until sunrise, and then they perform that prayer after the sun has risen a little bit, then obviously that's better. That's better that they do that, because the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever did so, yani whoever performed the Fajr prayer in Jama'ah in the masjid and sat remembering Allah until sunrise, and then performed 2 rak'ah, on some narrations 4 rak'ah, and the reward for that would be Hajj wa Umrah. Tama. Will be the reward of making Hajj and Umrah completely and perfectly. So that means if a person was in the masjid for Jum'ah and they remained there, then sure. But if not, then pray it at home. Pray it at home. But if the person is in the masjid, then it doesn't make sense for them to sit in the masjid until sunrise and then go home to pray. They should pray in the masjid. Now? In any case, if a person remains in the masjid after Fajr, remembering Allah, they should pray in the masjid. Didn't remain in the masjid? Then go wherever they go and pray it later. Anytime after the sun has risen up until before Dhuhr. But pray it, whether you pray it at home or not. Pray it. This is very important. To the extent that the scholars, some scholars said it's mustahab to perform it constantly. He said then about this, yani Salatul Duha, وَفِي التَّرْغِيبِ فِيهَا أَحَدِيثْ صَحِيَةً. And there are authentic hadith encouraging us to perform Salatul Duha. There are many authentic hadith. وَوَرَدَ التَّرْغِيبِ أَيْضًا فِي صَلَاةِ عَقِيبِ زَوَالِ الشَّمْسِ. And there has also come to us the encouragement, targhib, also concerning the salat that's immediately following Zawal al-Shams. The salat that is immediately following Zawal al-Shams. What is Zawal al-Shams? Huh? Decline of the sun. When the sun reaches its zenith, that's Zawal. If it begins to decline, then at this time, he said that there's also an encouragement to perform the prayer at this time. Aqib Zawal al-Shams. The hadith concerning this also show its importance. From amongst those hadith is that which is authentically narrated from the Prophet ﷺ, in which he said that I love to that good deeds be raised up to Allah in this time, because the heavens are open, the abwab as-sama tufta abwab as-sama in this time, yani immediately at the time of zawal, immediately when the sun begins to decline. Some scholars said, scholars of Sunnah said that this is a separate independent prayer, not the Sunnahs of Dhuhr. And some scholars said, no, it is the Sunnahs of Dhuhr. People of Sunnah, the scholars differ about it. Wallahu a'lam. That's another matter that we might go back to. But what is important is that this is a virtuous time for prayer. The time when the sun begins to decline, immediately at that time we should pray. 4 rak'ah. And in some of the narrations, they asked the Prophet ﷺ, is there recitation in each of those rak'ah? He said, na'am. They said, is there any taslim, yani separating them, two and two? He said, no. And Shaykh al-Uthaymeen said, in yani Jami' Ahkam, Fiqh al-Sunnah, he said that if that hadith is sahih, and Shaykh al-Bani said it's sahih, he said, if that hadith is sahih, that's the exception to the general rule that the voluntary prayers of the day should all be performed in pairs. He said, Shaykh al-Faymeen said, rahimahullah, if that hadith is sahih, that's the exception to the rules. Yani, voluntary prayer should be prayed in pairs. Two and two. But he said that may be the exception. Shaykh al-Bani said the hadith is sahih. In any case, this is a virtuous time. How many of us took advantage of this virtuous time, that immediately at the time of Zawal, that we used to pray 4 rak'ah? How many of us took advantage of this? Huh?
How do we determine that?
Well, now we're determining it by the calculated times, right? The calculated times. Yani, the beginning of the time of Dhuhr is at the zawal. Yani dhuhr, the time of dhuhr enters when the sun begins to decline. It's not permissible to pray when the sun is directly overhead. But when it begins to decline, that's the beginning of time for dhuhr, that's the time. At that time, it is virtuous, it's praiseworthy. The Prophet ﷺ loved. Some people said, we see that you constantly are performing this prayer at this time. He said, it's because I love for my good deeds to be raised in this time, when the doors of the heavens are opened. This is a virtuous time. And it shouldn't be taken lightly. And we should be looking at these times of virtue, and we should be taking advantage of them. How many opportunities have passed us by because we didn't pay attention to something as small as this that the Prophet ﷺ, he used to be constantly engaged in. He used to pay attention to this. He used to give importance to it. And all of this is what? Is to help us to be constantly engaged in remembrance of Allah. Now,
like, when does the time for that salah end?
It ends at dhuhr time. According to the hadith, and we'll mention the hadith at another time, but for the sake of time, we can't do it today. But in any case, in one of the narrations, Shaykh al-Albani mentions, he said in this narration, the words of the hadith is clear that this time excludes a specified number of rak'ah before Jumu'ah prayer. And some people said that they are sunnah, ratibah before Jumu'ah, and they are not. And before the Jumu'ah prayer, a person may come in the masjid and pray whatever Allah has written for them. 2 rak'ah or 4, until the imam stands in the minbar. There's no prescribed 4 rak'ah before Jumu'ah prayer. That's for dhuhr prayer. That's not for Jumu'ah. And the hadith, Shaykh al-Albani mentions, that this hadith is a proof of that, because it said, aqib al-zawal wa qabl al-dhuhr. Yani immediately following the zawal and before the dhuhr prayer. Before the dhuhr obligatory prayer. In any case, this is a lengthy discussion. The point is that this is a time that's a virtuous time that a person should be engaged in the voluntary dhikr of Allah, which is yani the prayers, extra prayers that Allah has legislated so that we constantly remain in His remembrance. Then he says, Al-Hafidh ibn Rajab, rahimahullah, he says, وَأَمَّا الذِّكْرَ بِاللِّسَانِ فَمَشْرُوعٌ فِي جَمِيعِ الْأَوْقَاتِ وَيَتَأَكَّدْ فِي بَعْدِهَا. Yani as far as the dhikr on the tongue, other than the salat, obligatory prayers and voluntary prayers, he said, as far as the dhikr on the tongue, it is legislated at all times. جَمِيعِ الْأَوْقَاتِ, at all times. But some of those times are more emphasized than others. This is the second type of the dhikr of Allah that he mentioned in the beginning. He said that there's the obligatory salat that Allah has legislated to establish His remembrance. And then there's extra, nafila. And they are of two types. The first type is of the same type as the obligatory prayer, but it's not obligatory. That is the rawatib that are performed before, after, or before and after the 5 congregational prayers. And those which are performed in special times. Yani the time between Fajr and Dhuhr and between Isha and Fajr, those times in which there is legislated Salatul Witr and Qiyamul Layl and Salatul Duha. And then he mentioned here the time immediately after the Zawal. Now he says the second type of voluntary dhikr is not prayers, voluntary prayers or extra prayers or rawatib prayers. It's something else altogether. It's dhikr on the tongue, a type of dhikr on the tongue. He said this is the second type which Allah has legislated, nafila, yani as an extra. And he said, this is legislated for all times. We know that there are some exceptions, right? A person shouldn't be engaged in the remembrance of Allah while they are relieving themselves. But he means in general, all times. فَمِمَّا يَتَأَكَّدُ فِيهِ الذِّكْرَ عَقِيبَ الصَّلَوَاتِ الْمَفْرُوضَاتِ وَأَنْ يَذْكُرُ اللَّهِ عَقِيبَ كل صلاة منها 100 مرة ما بين التصبيح والتحميد والتكبير والتحليل. This is the second point now. يعني the second type of dhikr of this nafila, it is يعني some of them are more emphasized than others. The one that's more emphasized of dhikr of Allah in the tongue, that's more emphasized is immediately following the obligatory prayers. يعني that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated that he be remembered immediately after each of the 5 obligatory prayers, 100 times, including tasbih, saying subhanallah, tahmeed, saying alhamdulillah, takbir, saying Allahu Akbar, and tahleel, saying la ilaha illallah. So after the obligatory prayers, how often do we get up and run out the masjid? These are questions that I'm only asking for myself first, and each of us, for us to think about ourselves. Because Allah has legislated, in order for us to be constantly engaged in His remembrance, that there's another type of dhikr other than prayers, and that is the dhikr on the tongue, and from the most emphasized of them is the dhikr after the five obligatory prayers. That when a person finishes the salat, they shouldn't get up and run. They shouldn't even get up and pray sunnah, ratiba prayers. Rather, they should say, Subhanallah, 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 33 times. And Alhamdulillah, 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 33 times. And Allahu Akbar, 33 times. And then La ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika la, lahu mulk, lahu alhamdu, wa ala kulli shayin qadir. This is what is legislated. This is the sunnah. This is from the tariqah, the way of Ahl Sunnah. The real Ahl Sunnah is that we engage in the dhikr of Allah after the five obligatory prayers. Or a person may say Subhanallah 32 times, Alhamdulillah 32 times, Allahu Akbar 34 times. Also narrated in the Sunnah. Now, that's a different topic. Okay. Now, let's. Yani, there are a number of other points that I said in the beginning of the talk today. I said there are a lot of points that the Shaykh alludes to, the Imam Ibn Rajab alludes to, that we're not going to have time to go into. We're going to try to stick to the outline that he brought. And then on another occasion, we'll come back to the other things that we need to spend a little bit more time with. Okay, some of the details of what he alludes to here. Now, so from the most important emphasis of the dhikr is, yani, after the five obligatory prayers. Ibn Rajab says, rahimahullah, and he's saying, Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, wa la ilaha illallah. This is something that we shouldn't abandon. And if a person is in a hurry, I remember I felt so ashamed. And later, after the fact, I realized that this was something that we have to grow up from. But it's real. This is the truth. Perhaps you may have experienced it and you might be even ashamed to say it. But I remember in Medina, one day we were going someplace and we were late for an appointment, some brothers from the university, and we had to pray at another place. It wasn't our destination. So when the prayer was over, we said, after the prayer, we're going to get up and leave quickly. And I remember getting up and saying to myself, what are we doing? How are we just getting up, running out the masjid? Aren't we supposed to be making zikr? Wherever we're going, it can't be that important. Sometimes we have to look at ourselves and be honest that we have failed, we have fallen short, even when we know better. If a person can do that, you can grow and mature, and you can improve, and you can progress. But if you can't do that, if you ignore your shortcomings, your mistakes and your errors, then you will never make any progress. Because you always make an excuse for yourself, and you always imagine that you have arrived, and you haven't. Yani, when you look at yourself, and you see, I have not been performing this dhikr after the five obligatory prayers, or I haven't been doing it regular, or I've been hastening through it because I'm in a hurry to go someplace. We have to stop ourselves and say, you know what? Wherever I'm going, it's not important. Maybe I'm not even going to get there. Perhaps I'm not going to live to get to that place. But right now, what I need to be doing is engaging this dhikr of Allah. That's how I see it, anyway. If you're doing dhikr and somebody shakes your hand, then you miss the count, then yani, count whatever you think it is, the least of it, right? Always take the lesser number. And by the way, we know that it's not from the sunnah, right, to shake people's hands after the salat. So people shouldn't be doing that. But if it happened, yani, we shouldn't be rude. Rather, we should try to take advantage of the opportunity to maybe say a word, kind word, gentle word to a person to let them know this is not from the sunnah. It's not legislated when you finish the congregational prayer to start shaking the hands of the people beside you. It's not legislated. That's not from the sunnah. It's contrary to the sunnah. We should not be doing that. Now,
when you combine in a salah, how do you do the adhkar? You do one,
you yani, if you combine the salah after the second salah.
You should do it twice,
and if you want to do it for both of them, right?
Yes.
Just like the sunnah prayers, if you didn't pray the sunnahs because you combined the prayers, then you can pray them after. And the Prophet ﷺ gave us an example of praying the sunnah prayers out of their time when he was occupied with a delegation after the dhuha prayer, and he wasn't able to pray the sunnahs, and he prayed them after asr. That means that they can be prayed out of their time if there's some legitimate reason for it, but otherwise they should be prayed in their time. After this, he said, very importantly, وَيَسْتَحِبُّ أيضا الذكر بعد الصلاتين اللتين لا تطوع بعدهما وهما الفجر والعصر. And it is also mustahab, beloved by Allah, commendable, praiseworthy, rewardable, that dhikr be engaged in after the two prayers, which there is no voluntary prayer after them. There is no sunnah ratiba after them. Which two prayers are those? The fajr wal asr. Yani, these two prayers, yani there is no legislated sunnah ratiba after the fajr or after the asr prayer. And then there's a note here, yani that the Prophet, as I just alluded to, he did pray, yani later in his life, he did pray two rakah after the asr prayer, which he continued to perform until he died. But those are not from the ratiba. Okay? So there's no sunnah ratiba, yani legislated to perform after these two prayers. He said it's legislated that a person engage in dhikr, dhikr of Allah, after these two prayers. It's legislated to engage in dhikr after Salatul Fajr up until the sunrise. And after the Asr, up until the sun sets. And these two times also the Prophet ﷺ mentioned the virtue of them and the excellence of them. And then he said what? About the dhikr of Allah, yani performing the Fajr prayer and yani in sitting, engaged in the dhikr of Allah after the Fajr prayer. And he said the same thing after Asr prayer is better to him than? Of Ismail, freeing slaves from the children of Israel, Ismail. Yani meaning that the Prophet ﷺ said these two times are so important that I'd rather be sitting after the Asr prayer, engaged in the dhikr of Allah, than getting the reward of freeing slaves. Not any slaves, slaves from the children of Ismail alayhi salam. And he said that from the Fajr prayer, that I would rather be engaged in the dhikr of Allah. That means that there are a lot of things that we could be doing after the Fajr prayer that we might find of utmost importance. I have to get out and start making some money. I have to get home because I need some sleep. I have to do whatever it is that I'm planning on doing. Guess what? The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it is more beloved to me to be sitting after the Fajr prayer, engaged in the remembrance of Allah. Sitting after the Asr prayer, engaged in remembrance of Allah. And these two times are the times of Adhkar al-Sabah wal-Masah. Yani the time of Adhkar al-Sabah is after the Fajr prayer until sunrise. And the time of Adhkar al-Masah, evening Adhkar, is after the Asr prayer until Maghrib. Not after the Maghrib prayer, after the Isha prayer. If a person missed it, can they do it later? Of course. But that's the time that's beloved and preferable, that a person engage in the dhikr of Allah after the Asr prayer until sunset. Now,
in this hadith, the wording of the mission of the Prophet said, "Ajz ma'hulu," to sit with people. So maybe some people from even understand it, maybe even the shura.
Now, let's come back to that hadith. Okay, let's come back to it because of time, right? But yani, the point that you're making is well taken. That some people, the Prophet ﷺ said that it's more beloved to me that I sit with people, مَا قَوْمٌ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهِ. Meaning some people might take this to mean, oh, so that means dhikr jama'i. That we should be engaged in, everybody saying, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, yani dhikr jama'i. That's not the meaning of it for sure. And the proof that that's not the meaning of it is that there's no record of the Prophet ﷺ in 10 years in Medina performing the prayers in Jama'ah after he migrated to Medina. 10 years of performing 5 prayers a day in Jama'ah, there's no record of him doing that in Jama'ah. There's no record of it. And he used to engage in the dhikr of Allah after the Asr prayer. That's a fact. And there's no record that he was doing it in Jama'ah. Yani group dhikr, okay? But in any case, that hadith, inshallah, also is one of the hadith that would be nice to go back to for the benefit of it. But now, khalas, we ran out of time. So let me just, and I try to, Allahumma sta'an. Let me just say, we'll come back to this, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. But he said that, yani, it is mustahab also to engage in the remembrance of Allah after these two prayers, that is the Fajr and the Asr prayer. And these are the times, yani, in which the adhkar sabah wal masa, yani, are legislated to be performed. That is after Fajr until sunrise, and after Asr until sunset. He says, وَهَذَانِ الْوَقْتَانِ أَعْنِي وَقْتَ الْفَجْرِ وَوَقْتَ الْعَصْرِ أحدهما أفضل أوقات النهار للذكر. That these two times, I mean the time of the Fajr and the time of the Asr, these two times are the best, the most preferable of the times of the day for dhikr of Allah. Of all the times in the day, the best of times, the most excellent of time is the time of Fajr and the time of Asr. That's important then. Yani, maybe we are engaged in the dhikr of Allah. Yani, as much as possible. But we didn't realize that there are some times that are better than others. The best time to engage in the dhikr of Allah in of the day of Nahar is the time of Fajr and the time of Asr. That's the best time to engage in the dhikr of Allah. So if a person engages in the dhikr of Allah in those times by performing the Fajr prayer and then sitting, reciting the Adhkar al-Sabah from the Prophet ﷺ Sunnah, or praying the Asr prayer in Jama'ah in the Masjid, and sit, engage in the dhikr of Allah, according to the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, the things that he used to say especially, these are the best times that a person could be engaged in the dhikr of Allah from the whole time of the day. This is the best time. According to Al-Hafiz Ibn Rajab Al-Hanbali Rahimahullah. وَلِهَذَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى بِذِكْرِهِ فِيهِمَا فِي مَوَعَدِهِ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ. And this is where I'm going to stop. And he said, it's for this reason that Allah has commanded us to be engaged in His remembrance in these two times, in many places in the Quran. And then he mentions numerous ayat of the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us to be engaged in His dhikr in the morning and in the afternoon or evening, you can say. Morning and afternoon, al-Fajr and Asr. And he mentions from Surah Al-Ahzab 33:42, Surah Al-Insan. Insan is 76, 77, 76, 25. Surah Ali Imran 3:41, Surah Maryam 11. And Surah Al-Rum 30:17, and Surah Al-A'raf 7:205, Surah Al-Taha 20:130, and Surah Al-Qaf 50:39. And he mentions all of these ayat, but we don't have time to read them now. Inshallah, we'll come back to them. And then, yani, they're going to call the adhan, and I'm going to stop. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Shadun la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. If we have some dates, maybe we should get them out so that we don't delay in breaking our fast once the adhan is called. Inshallah, next week we'll continue with this topic from Ibn Rajab's yani explanation of the 50 hadith, Jami' Ulum wal Hikam.